this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. We welcome you to the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. What if we were to tell you that a single book could forever change your life? It has a living, breathing message and is filled with dynamic power. Sadly, however, this book is often neglected. In this week's message, we will talk about this timeless document and learn some new ways to glean the most benefit from it. Please join us.
Today, we're going to take a look at a library that can change your life if you check out its books. We begin in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's pray. Almighty God, we gather this day around your holy word. Lord, we're hungry to encounter you and to hear from you. By the power of your Holy Spirit, enter into our hearts and our minds and reveal to us your truths which we need as people created in your image. In Jesus' name we ask this. Amen. Our reading for today is a portion of a letter written from the Apostle Paul to a young pastor named Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man or woman of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Here ends the reading. Dear friends, a disturbing article came out a while back by Religious News Service with the title, "Americans Love the Bible, But They Don't Read It Much." A survey was done by the Barna Group back in 2013 for the American Bible Society that revealed that one half of Americans think the Bible has too little influence on a culture they see in moral decline. And while 88% indicated that they owned a Bible, only 1 in 5 read the Bible on a regular basis. 57% of the people surveyed said that they only read their Bible 4 times or less a year. Very alarming. How about you? What are you reading these days? Are you reading and studying your Bible? If you own a Bible, you know you own a library with 66 books just waiting to be checked out. Which of these books are you currently reading? There are a number of reasons people have for not reading or studying their Bible. One is time. People are busy. Others say they find it confusing and intimidating to understand. Others struggle with the language that they encounter. They have an old King James version of the Bible. Others say they're not sure anymore if it's really true, and others yet say it's irrelevant to my present-day life. And still others say, well, I go to church every Sunday. That's enough for me. What would you say to someone who asked, well, why should I read the Bible? Why study it? Why make it a regular habit in my life? That's our question for today. Why study? There is an answer for us to consider in our passage, which was read for us earlier. It seems that this issue is an age-old issue for the Christian church, people wandering away from God's Word. It's written by a fellow named Paul, an old pastor, sitting in a jail for his faith on the last stretch of his life, and he's writing to a young beleaguered pastor who is struggling with his congregation. It seems that his members are listening to all kinds of, quote, new and improved teachings. They're walking away from God's Word, the Bible, and setting aside the gospel. And they're getting themselves good and lost. Paul has been reflecting on this in his letter, and then he turns to Timothy and he says, but as for you, Timothy, as their pastor, you continue in what you have learned and believed. In other words, stick with Scripture. Stick with those doctrines that have been passed on to you. He says, knowing from whom you've learned it. He's basically pointing to himself, Paul. He says, let me be your example. You've always looked up to me. I've been your mentor. You've seen how important the Word of God has been in my life. May it be the same in your life. You stick with the Word. And then he takes him back even a little bit further. He says, remember how from childhood you've known the sacred writings, Scripture. Timothy was blessed with a mother and a grandmother who were Christian and raised that little boy in the faith, who taught him from an early age the stories out of the Bible. Thank God for mothers that faithfully do that. I had one who would sit with me on Saturday nights doing Sunday school lessons with me before, so I'd be prepared for the next morning. But Paul goes on, he said, you continue in that Word, and here's why. Here's why you need to study it and read it. He says, all Scripture is breathed out by God. What's he saying there? He's saying that this is God's Word, God speaking in these words in this book. This book is alive. It breathes with life. There's an energy there. God's breath is in these books, making them alive and powerful and able to change anyone's life who might dare to open them and read them. The Spirit of God who caused them to be written, who spoke through the different writers in so many ways, is as powerful today as he ever was. Martin Luther, I love what he says about the Bible. He says, the Bible is alive. It speaks to me. It has feet. It runs after me. It has hands. It lays hold of me. John Stott, great biblical theologian out of Great Britain, writes, Scripture is far more than a collection of ancient documents in which the words of God are preserved. It's not a kind of museum in which God's Word is exhibited behind glass like a relic or a fossil. On the contrary, it's a living Word to living people from the living God, a contemporary message for a contemporary world. When you pick up that Scripture, that Bible of yours, with those 66 books, you're dealing in every one of those books with dynamite. When you read it, they have an impact on you. First of all, Paul says, these God-breathed Scriptures are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ. They'll make you wise. They wise us up to see things that we can't see on our own. They help us to see things we haven't seen before about God, about ourselves, about other people in the world. They point out to us God's plan for us and our need for a Savior and our sinfulness and what God has done for us in Christ Jesus and how faith in Him can save us for eternity. Where would we be without these Scriptures that make us wise to salvation? But not only are they give us wisdom for salvation, Paul goes on, he says, all Scripture is profitable, which means it's useful. Profitable or useful for what? For teaching, first of all, so that we can learn about God and about Jesus and the Holy Spirit and about humanity and all those things in life that God wants to show us. They're also good for reproof. Sometimes I need to have things pointed out to me that I'm going in a wrong direction, that I'm doing things that I shouldn't be doing, that God has standards and I shouldn't be breaking those standards. He shows me things to avoid instead of falling prey to the political correctness of my day. It protects me that way. For correction as well. For teaching, for reproof, for correction. Correction means improvement. God is out to improve me. As the statement says, God loves me just as I am, but he loves me too much to leave me that way. He wants to improve me in my relationships with him and with others. He wants to improve me as a father, as a husband, He wants to improve me as a child of God, as a witness for Jesus Christ. And finally, he says, and it's useful for training in righteousness. Not only does it help me to get right with God as I study it, but it helps me to stay right with God, to do what's right in God's sight, and it matures me. And as I put it to work in my life, I find myself becoming more loving and more servant-like like Jesus. It keeps me in a right relationship with God and people. Not only is it profitable, but it has a great end result, Paul says, so that everyone who belongs to God may be proficient, equipped for every good work. That's its ultimate purpose. John Ortberg writes, Paul doesn't say that the purpose of knowing Scripture is to enable us when we go to heaven to get 100% score on an entrance exam. He says the purpose is for us to become equipped for good works. Or to put it another way, it is for us to become transformed into the kind of people from whom goodness flows like an unceasing stream of water. So Paul tells Timothy, this word is God-breathed. It can change your life. It can wise you up so that you come to know Jesus Christ and be saved. It's profitable in teaching you all about God and yourself. It keeps you on the right path, reproves you, it improves your life, it helps you have right relationships, and in the end, you are equipped to do God-pleasing work. Recently at our church, we had a men's breakfast. We do it on a monthly basis. We have a lot of guys that turn out for this thing. And the last time around, we took a look at how important it is to be reading our Bibles. And one of the guys got up and gave a testimony. His name is Dave. He's a successful business leader. And he talked about what a life-changing experience it has been over the years since he began to take that quiet time each day and spend time with God in His Word, and how it has grown him in his relationship with God. It's very inspiring to listen to Dave talk about that. We heard another story about a very successful businessman that has coffee with God each morning in his rocking chair overlooking his backyard, and how it just turned his life around. That story was told to us on a video that we watched. Very impactful. So we've got Paul saying, you know how it's important it's been in my life. Look to me and how important it was to your mom and your grandma as they passed that word on to you. And you know what I've told you, that it's so powerful that it can change your life because it's God-breathed and it points you to Jesus and you're saved by it. And it helps you to grow in your relationship with God and with other people and equips you and gets you ready to do all sorts of good stuff for the Lord. And we've got Dave and we've got this rocking chair guy. They're all saying, that's why we study. That's why the Bible is important. But there's even one more reason that I don't want to leave out here. Why study the Bible? Why put it to work in my life? Hear these words of Jesus, our Master. He says, the one who hears these words of mine and acts on them is like the wise man who built his house upon the rock. And the rains fell, and the floods came, and the winds beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was built on rock. We need to build our lives on rock, the Word of God. I've learned that another reason people aren't involved with their Bible too much is they don't know how. They haven't been taught along the way. And they wonder, well, how do I get started on something like this? Here's some pointers to get you going. Number one, set a time in your day. Maybe it's early morning before you head off to work. 20 to 30 minutes. Set it aside as your appointment with God. I've discovered something along the way if you say, I don't have time for something like that. in my own life, I make time for some things that are important to me. And this is important for you. So find that time. Find a quiet place. Might be in the front seat of your car before you walk into work. Maybe out in the parking lot. Who knows? Also, I would recommend that you, if you have an old Bible, as nice as it is to have those old Bibles, go get yourself an updated translation. Maybe a New International Version or an English Standard Version. But get something that has study notes in it that can help you along. Something like an introduction to each of the books you want to read. It gives you background information. It's very helpful. Then pick a book of the Bible to study. Don't start at the very beginning. You might get discouraged. I recommend you start with the New Testament. Maybe John's Gospel. Or if you want to take on one of the letters, Paul's letter to the Philippians. And then as you sit down with your Bible, and you maybe perhaps have a pen and a piece of paper or a notebook to write notes in for insights, pray to God for insight and help. For the Holy Spirit is there to give you understanding. Tell him that you're willing to obey and submit yourself to what you read, that you want him to work in your life. God loves it when we pray like that. And finally, read slowly, a little bit at a time. If it's a narrative, just read one story from beginning to end and read it slowly as you would read a novel. If you were in love and you've gotten a love note from that special someone, chew on it a little bit in your mind. Ask questions of it. Just hold it for a while. Ask yourself, what do I learn about God or Jesus or myself in this story or in this particular letter that I've been reading in Scripture? Some of you might be open to even picking up a help. A good book that's been helpful to a lot of people is How to Read Your Bible for All It's Worth by Gordon Fee and Douglas Stewart. I recommend it highly. Great insights to every book of the Bible. Anyway, read. Pick it up and read it. Study it. Recommit yourself to be a believing, reading, and studying the Word of God Christian. The better you get to know the Scriptures, the more intimately you will know the Lord of the Scriptures, and you will never lose your way. Amen. Let's have a prayer together. Lord, we thank you for the Bible that you've given us to read and study and live by. Help us to continue in the power of that word and to stand firmly upon it as our authority in all matters of faith and life. Continue to create a hunger in us for reading it as a daily habit, so that we might become mature and grow into people that are equipped for serving and pleasing you. In Christ's name we ask this. Amen. Now as you go on your way, may Christ go with you. May he go before you to show you the way. May he go behind you to encourage you, beside you to befriend you, above you to watch over, and within you to give you his peace. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. We pray today's message has been of help to you as you more intimately come to know the Lord of the Scriptures. We invite you to share Christian Crusaders with a friend, relative, or neighbor. Today's program can be shared with others by looking us up on the internet. Check us out online at www.christiancrusaders.org. By making more people aware of this ministry, we can share the word and spread the light of the gospel so no one walks in darkness. CDs and printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. However, a gift of any amount to help cover production and mailing cost is always appreciated. Address your request to Christian Crusaders, Post Office Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 5063. Our toll-free telephone number is 1-888-693-2484 or 1-888-MY-FAITH. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 277-0924. Christian Crusaders is a nonprofit, listener-supported ministry dedicated to serving the spiritual needs of those unable to attend worship in the church of their choice and all others who have need to listen. We thank all of you who support us with your prayers and gifts. We're happy you were able to worship with us today, and we pray you will join us again next Sunday on this station. Conducting our service was the Reverend Steve Kramer, Senior Pastor of Shepherd of the Valley Lutheran Church in Afton, Minnesota, and speaker on Christian Crusaders, now in its 79th year of broadcasting biblical truth.